a few thoughts came to mind. And essentially, the thought of how if one offers something with love and devotion to Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate and Krishna will never forget that offer. And he told the story of Krishna going to Hastinapura. There is another story that one time Krishna, he went to Hastinapura because he wished to associate with his dear friend Arjuna. Arjuna and Krishna, they had such a loving relationship. He tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that the materialistic people cannot understand the secrets of Krishna consciousness. He said, but I'm explaining these secrets to you because you are my friend and you are my devotee. So Arjuna was a very, very close friend of Lord Krishna. When Arjuna received knowledge from Krishna, and when Lord Krishna had revealed his universal form to Arjuna, then Arjuna said, sometimes we have joked together, sometimes we have eaten together, sometimes we have rested on the same bed together. He said, I'm very fearful that I have committed offenses to you because I really didn't know who you were. I thought you were just my friend, but you're something much greater than that. So one time, Lord Krishna was traveling to Hastinapura because he wanted to visit his very close friend and his loving friend, Arjuna. And when he reached that place, it was decided that they would go on a picnic together. And Haribol, Jai Sanatana Prabhu Ki, Arjuna Prabhu Ki,
Jai
Sanatana Ki,
Jai. So Prakash, just a couple minutes and I'll be finished, okay? So he met with Arjuna and he met with Draupadi and they decided that they would go for a picnic. And thus they went for their picnic and they were having a very pleasant discussion with one another in the way that friends have discussion. And at a certain point, they said, now we should take our meal. And Draupadi said, well, let us go and we will prepare the food stuff. So Draupadi went away. And when she returned, she saw that there was some blood on the finger of Krishna. She became alarmed. And she said, what has happened? And Krishna said, well, you know, I'm omniscient. I know everything, and I can see everything. And I saw that some great distance away, there is one child, and he was playing on the edge of a forest, and there was a big tiger, and that tiger was coming to eat the child. So what I did is I threw my Sudarshan disc, and my Sudarshan disc went there and cut the head from the tiger, and then saved the child. Then my Sudarshan disc was returning to me, but it was spinning so fast it nicked my finger a little bit. A little bit of blood came out. And Draupadi became very distressed when she heard that story. And what she did is she bent over immediately and she took her sari. And she just ripped her sari and she tied up the finger of Krishna and she said, now, let us take our meal. Krishna said, thank you very much. So it seems like such a small thing that a person would do for Krishna, just to take care of his finger. But then later, there was the assembly of the Kurus, and that gambling match was going on. And Yudhisthira had been lured into the gambling match. And when the dice was being thrown, consistently Yudhisthira was losing everything. They knew that he was very bad when it came to gambling. And finally the wager was made of the wife, and he lost the wife also. He lost Draupadi in the gambling match. And so Dhritarashtra, he sent Dushasan. He said, first they sent a servant. They said, you go and you tell her that she should come. So they went to the quarters where she stayed, the queen's quarters, private quarters. They said, you should come to the match. And she was very upset. She said, what are you doing here? You uncultured man, you leave my place immediately. And then finally Dushasan, one of the brothers of Dhritarashtra, he was sent there. And he went in and he forcibly dragged Draupadi from that place and took her to the assembly. And then it was decided by the Kurus that they would strip her naked in the assembly of the Kurus. So when this process began, when they were trying to take her sari from her body, she simply put her hands in the air and she was saying, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, please protect me. And then Krishna became her sari. And they were pulling, but they could not defame Krishna's devotee in the presence of the Kurus. So she gave little bit of her sari, and then Krishna became her unlimited sari. He never forgot even the slightest bit of service that was done by his devotee, and he reciprocated. And there are so many instances in which the Lord has reciprocated with the love of his devotees. 500 years ago, the Lord came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when the Lord first came, he was exhibiting so many supernatural or superhuman pastimes, but he was not showing himself to be the Supreme Godhead. But then one night, in the home of Srivas Thakur, when they were having their all-night sankirtan, the Lord decided to reveal his divinity to the devotees. And so it's been stated that the Lord, he went and he sat on the altar of the Lord and he began to reciprocate the loving sentiments of the devotees by showing himself in different features of the personality of Godhead. And there was one devotee who lived near Lord Chaitanya. His name was Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta, he was an Ayurvedic physician. He was a Kaviraj. And he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And oftentimes, Lord Chaitanya, he would catch Murari Gupta. And he would say, Murari, what are you doing chanting Ram, Ram, Ram? What are you doing chanting the name of Ram? He said, don't you know that the name of Krishna is infinitely sweeter than the name of Ram? You give up this chanting of Ram's name immediately and only take up the name of Krishna. Only take up the worship of Krishna. So you go home and you make your decision and then you come back and tell me tomorrow what you've done. But I'm instructing you. He did this also with the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. His name is Anupam, Ashubala. He said, you give up this worship of Ramachandra. You only take up the chanting of Sri Krishna's holy name. And then Murari would come back the next day and Lord Chaitanya would say, so what is the news? What have you done? What is the report? And Murari Gupta would say, I've sold my head to the feet of Ramachandra. I've sold my head to the feet of Raghunath. It's impossible for me to give up his worship, to take up the worship of anyone else. He is my Lord. And Lord Chaitanya would be very, very satisfied. So on that night, he called Murari Gupta when he was showing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, Murari, come. Murari, come. And Lord Chaitanya, in order to reciprocate the love that Murari Gupta had for Lord Ramachandra, and that he would never give up that worship of Lord Ramachandra under any circumstances whatsoever, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the form of Lord Ram. And when he did that, Murari Gupta fell to the ground, unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya was screaming, Murari, get up! Murari, get up! Murari, look at yourself! And when Murari Gupta would look at himself, he saw that he was Hanuman. So the Lord, he will always reciprocate with his devotees. He will always reciprocate the loving sentiment that his devotees have. There was one devotee that evening, and I forget who it is, but Lord Chaitanya, he was telling that devotee, now listen, do you remember that night that your village was being attacked by the Mughals? Remember that evening? And you began running from your village with your wife, and you began running from the village with your children, and you wanted to run to the river, and you wanted to take a boat to the other side of the river. And that devotee, this was such a vivid impression within the heart of that devotee. He said, yes, I remember. And Lord Chaitanya said, you came to the edge of the river, and there was no boat there. And there was no boatman. And the devotee said, yes, Lord, that's a fact. And the Lord said, but then you prayed, oh Lord, if a boat would just come now, that I could climb upon that boat and I could cross to the other side, eternally I would dedicate my life to you. And then the Lord said, you looked up and just at that moment you saw a boat coming through the mist on the river with the boatman. And the devotee said, yes. And the Lord said, I was the boatman. He said, I came to answer your prayer. And then the Lord, he started calling for one devotee. His name was Kolavecha Sridhar. And Kolavecha Sridhar, he was a very impressive Vaishnav. Because he was a Vaishnav who would never take anything from anyone. He would not accept anything. He lived so simply. He lived so meagerly. He just wore torn cloth. The only possession he had was a broken water pot. And he made his living by selling bananas and leaves of the banana tree so people could take their food from that. And whatever he got from that niggardly way of life, from that very poor and simple way of life, 50% of what he would receive, he would use it for the worship of Ganga, of the Ganga. And when Lord Chaitanya was young and he began his Sankirtan movement going out from the home of Srivas Thakur, he used to go by Kolavecha Sridhar because he knew that Kolavecha was just a pure devotee who was totally dependent on the holy names of God and who never wanted anything else from anyone. And he would go to Kolavecha with the Sankirtan party and he would say, oh, such beautiful bananas you have. How much are you asking for your bananas? And Kolavecha would look up and he would say, well, I'm asking 2 rupees. And Lord Chaitanya would say, well, I will give you 1 rupee. And Kolavecha would smile and he would say, but Lord, he said, but Nimai Pandit, I'm not making any profit on anyone. This is just the actual price. And the bananas would be in their hand, and it would be like a tug of war going back and forth. Nimai would be pulling the bananas, and Kolavechi would be pulling them back. And then Kolavechi would say, just take them. Was it Lord Chaitanya stealing the bananas, or was Lord Chaitanya stealing his love? And that night when Lord Chaitanya was reciprocating the love of his devotees, he called Kolavecha Sridhar. He said, go get Kolavecha Sridhar. They said, Lord, where does he live? We don't know. He said, you just go into the dark of Navadvip in the night, and you'll hear somebody crying Krishna's name with so much love. It will sound just like a baby who is helplessly crying for his mother. You just go to that person. That will be Kolavecha Sridhar. And you tell Kolavecha Sridhar to come here. And so they went, the devotees went, and they heard this such helpless, love-filled crying of the holy names. He was just a God-intoxicated person, Kolavecha Sridhar, total dependence on Krishna's holy name. And they brought him to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kolavecha, I want you to take something. And he folded his hands and he said, but Lord, I don't need anything. What do I need? I have the holy names of the Lord. I have the Lord's service through chanting. Nothing else do I need. No, you must take something. And the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he stated that Lord Chaitanya was roaring like a lion. Take something, take something. But he said, Lord, I do not need anything. And all the Vaishnavas were sitting here listening to Lord Chaitanya scream, you must take something. And he was saying, Lord, I don't want anything. It's like Prahlad Maharaj. When Lord Narasimhadeva was telling Prahlad Maharaj, you must take something. Then Prahlad Maharaj was saying, but Lord, I don't need anything. He said, I understand that you're the best giver of all benedictions. But I don't need anything. He said, because whether I'm in heaven or whether I'm in hell, I'm fully satisfied by engaging in your Nam Sankirtan and chanting the holy names. And Lord Narasimhadeva was saying, no, you must take something. You've done so much. You've surrendered your life. You've surrendered your soul in the midst of the greatest calamities. You never looked here, you never looked there, you only remain totally and absolutely with the totality of your faith, you remain fixed in me. Therefore, I want to reciprocate, take something. Prahlad Maharaj folded his hands, he said, if I must take something, he said, then please you bless my father. Because my father was a big rascal. He was such a bad rascal. You bless him. Lord Narasimhadeva, he said, that's not a problem because he died by my fingers. He has already attained liberation. Take something else. And Prahlad was thinking. And Prahlad looked at the Lord in the true spirit of humility. And he said, Lord, you know, I was fallen down in the well of material existence. He said, I was very, very low. And I'm really just like everybody else. And all of those vicious creatures in the well of material existence, they were biting me and they were giving me so much distress. He said, but my spiritual master came, Sri Narada Muni. And my blessed spiritual master, he picked me up from the well of material life. Therefore, if there's any benediction that I wish to ask from you, I wish that you will allow me to serve his lotus feet eternally. And Sri Narasimhadeva said, take it. So Kolavecha Sridhar, he was saying, Lord Chaitanya, I don't need anything. And he was roaring, take something, take something, take something. That was the wake-up pill for anyone who I had sufficiently put to sleep by my monotonous speaking. Take something! Roaring. and call the Vaishnava Sridhar and say, no, I don't want anything. And the Vaishnavas are going, my goodness, look at this exchange going on between the Lord and his devotee. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, take something. And finally he said, okay, I'll take something. And the Vaishnavas went, oh, he's actually going to take something. Now what will the reciprocation be? What will happen here? Lord Chaitanya smiled. He said, okay, I've got you. You're going to take something. What do you want? And Kolavesha Sridhar, he looked at the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, this is what I want. In Navadvip, there's one young Brahmin. He's very beautiful. And he sings the names of God. He dances in ecstasy. He dresses himself very gorgeously. He has beautiful, long, black, wavy hair, and his eyes are like lotus flowers, and his arms come down past his knees. He leads the Sankirtan. And he's quite an arrogant young fellow because he comes and he steals my bananas. And he argues with me about the price of the bananas. So, Lord, what I want is this. I want that you will bless me, that I will have the devotional service, the pure devotional service of the lotus feet of that arrogant young Brahmin, birth after birth after birth. And he said that all the devotees put their hands in it and Hari Bol. Lord Chaitanya said, take it. So Krishna will never forget. Whatever devotional service we will render to him, he will never forget. In the beginning of our movement, Srila Prabhupada, he was taking all risks in order to... He knew that he was very old, and he knew that his days were numbered because the material body could only last so long. That's our philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada, in order to spread out the Krishna consciousness movement, so many things he was doing. And he was taking so many young men, even in their 20s, and some even younger than their 20s, and he was awarding them this order of sannyas, that they would be lifelong celibates, and they would preach. And Srila Prabhupada knew, maybe there will be casualties. And there was one of my godbrothers, I'm not sure where he was. Maybe he was from, I met him in Canada, maybe he was a Canadian, maybe he was a South American, something like that. But he was one of these young men who was very dynamic in preaching. And Srila Prabhupada had awarded him sannyas, and he was preaching in South America like anything. And then one day, he met a beautiful, beautiful actress. And he fell in love. And then he left his sannyas ashram behind. And later he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. And he was asking for Srila Prabhupada's forgiveness. And Srila Prabhupada told him, he said, you know, I have so much service to do for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, and you have helped me. Therefore, regardless of what you have done, I am eternally indebted to you for that service that you have rendered. So you can see, Krishna will never forget. And the Krishna conscious persons, they will never forget either. Even the smallest particle of service that one can do will never go in vain. It will never be wasted. So we should serve with a full heart. We should serve with a pure heart. We should serve Krishna without strings attached. We should serve Krishna not according to the conditions that we place. We should serve Krishna in the way that our acharyas have instructed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna. But he came as a devotee to instruct us how to serve Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya's greatest instruction for all of us is that if we wish to overcome whatever obstacles may come on our path of devotional service, and if we wish to come to the platform of offenseless devotional service and purity in devotional service, we should chant Hare Krishna, and we should render devotional service in a very, very humble frame of mind. He has said that we should engage in devotional service